We are still in Exodus with the 13th chapter, our second lesson. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the Israelites of human beings and animals is mine." Moses said to the people, "Remember this day on which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, because the Lord brought you out from there by strength of hand. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today in the month of Abib, you are going out. When the Lord brings you into the land of Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this observance in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a festival to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen in your possession, and no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory. You shall tell your child on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as I told our folks during Sunday school, I had a good sermon yesterday, and then my boss rewrote it overnight. So here we are. And the new title would be, "Yes, We're Still in the Middle." That is a theme that has struck me repeatedly in doing worship prep this fall, and it is precisely where the people of God find themselves. They are, in these two passages, exactly stuck. They've been delivered a leader who's a little bit questionable. I mean, Moses, well, like so many of the biblical leaders, he has his failings. He's a murderer. He lived at the palace. He grew up more as an Egyptian than as a Hebrew. He ran away. He came back. And now he's talking crazy talk about God sending him on a mission. But they've seen 9 plagues. They've seen 9 signs that God is serious about delivering them from Egypt. And then we get to this passage, because so far they've been able to be passive. They've just been able to watch Moses and Pharaoh and signs from God happen. Now, God says, "Okay, pack your bags. Let's get ready to go." This is where the rubber meets the road. They have to decide, are they going to turn their back on their known lives in Egypt? They know exactly how it works. They know what the system is. They know when payday is. They know when food day is. It's a very stable environment. It's known. It is the devil they know, so to speak. Or do they do what God is saying? Get together, get a lamb, an unblemished lamb, cook it, put its blood over your doorpost and on the lintel. I mean, that's probably not something you want to do for home resale value. But if you're not planning on staying, what does it matter? But are they staying or are they going? Ultimately, they're told what God is going to do, and they have to respond. God says, "I'm going to come through, me and the angel of death, and the firstborn of everything is going to die. Except if it's got this blood over the door and on the doorposts." So the people have to decide, because now it's real. When it rains frogs, everybody gets hit in the head by a frog. When the river turns to blood, everybody's out of water. When the angel of death comes through town and there's a way to avoid the angel of death, not everybody's going to avoid the angel of death, are they? I mean, this would be a really bad day to have missed Sunday school. This is where most of us find ourselves in our faith journey. At some point, we have heard the stories of God. We have seen the powerful signs of God, and now God is asking us to do something. Well, if we do this and we stick around, it could really annoy the neighbors. If we do this, then we have to leave. We have to start all over, and there is uncertainty and wilderness. And those of us who know the rest of the story know it's not going to be a very quick journey to get to this land of promise God is talking about. This is where most of us find ourselves at some point along the faith journey. We have seen enough to believe it's real. And then God says, oh, by the way, I need you to do something for me. It's in your best interest, but it's going to unsettle everything. Now, the people of God have a choice. They could sit there and do nothing and just let the angel of death sweep through town. My hunch is at least one person would hedge their bets and put the blood over the doorposts. And then there'd be all sorts of uncomfortable conversations. I thought we said we weren't going to do that. Well, I wasn't going to let my firstborn son die. Well, now you've got us in trouble with the Egyptians because clearly you knew something and you didn't share it with them. And then we have the possibility that, of course, some of the Hebrews would want to hang out and stay behind but not sacrifice their kids. And then they get in trouble with Egypt because the Egyptians want to know why you knew and we didn't know. So they're pretty much backed into a corner here. And we learn later that they're going to have their gold with them. They're going to have some property with them. But in this moment, this is where the people of God have to decide if that name is real for them. We have to make that decision at various points in our faith journey as well. From here, for the Hebrews, the journey doesn't get any easier, right? You guys know what happens next is there's a Red Sea, there's an army chasing them, there's a problem trying to get everybody across the Red Sea, Moses through Egyptian army, not through, all sorts of things. And then wilderness. This is longer than a ride in the back of the minivan on vacation. They're going to have the Ten Commandments. They're going to have the golden calf. They're going to have whining and complaining. Moses is going to die before they get where they're going. So let's not pretend like answering God's call means it's going to be sunshine, happiness, and roses. This is a really tough, defining moment for the people of God. Do they trust God enough to go into the unknown, or would they rather stay where they are? Enslaved, owing their survival to somebody else, owing even whether or not they're going to have a good day to somebody else. And for us, remembering that that somebody else has already killed their baby boys under the age of 2. What are they going to do? You and I are cheating. We've read the rest of the story. We know what happens. We're sitting here several thousand years down the pipeline, and we're still thinking about these people of God in Egypt. The reason we're still thinking about them is that this story is inherently and intrinsically and permanently tied to Jesus Christ. So when we come to this table, we remember that Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And it was a moment. It was a moment where people had to decide where their life was going to hang out. We can make the argument that the disciples in the upper room are at that same moment when Judas decides 30 pieces of silver is a better thing than Jesus. When Peter decides he can take up a sword and strike down somebody arresting Jesus. When the disciples just kind of evaporate into the mist of a Friday night. Coming to this table is that kind of moment. We are offered the chance every time we come to this table to be fed for the journey and the wilderness, the 40 years and the 3 days ahead. We are offered so many times the chance to be the people of God. This is one of those moments. We cannot stay waffling in the middle forever. The people in Egypt had to decide, are we staying or are we going? We have to decide, are we staying or are we going? And are we going with God or are we staying trusting in ourselves? When you come to the table later today, think about what God is asking when we come to this table. God is asking us to recognize that God loves us, that God will go to great lengths to save us from ourselves, that we are precious enough to be paid for at great cost, and that it takes something from us to let God know that we're with God. Slaughtering a lamb, inviting your neighbors in, blood on the doorpost, baptismal water in the form of a cross on your forehead, living faithfully every day of our lives, coming to the table knowing that this is where all of our sustenance comes from. These are all pieces that move us out of the middle into that scary, terrifying wilderness where God goes with us and before us and still will not let us go. Friends, come to the table. Know that coming to be fed at the Passover table changes everything. And come anyway. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.